Welcome to the Behavior Source Podcast. This is Aubrey.
And Julie.
And today we are continuing our holiday series, and we're going to be talking about breaking it down. All right, so when we are setting our expectations, which we've talked about a little bit already, if you've listened to a previous episode, if you haven't, go back and listen. But it's really thinking about, you know, when we think about what's important to you and what your child can handle, how can we break those things down? So last time we kind of talked about decorating the Christmas tree and giving your child a small box of ornaments or something that they can put on the tree, whether that be the first thing that they, part of the, I want to call it sequence, but that's not really what you think about when you're decorating a Christmas tree. What am I trying to say, Julie?
The first step?
I guess. It's just funny talking about it in terms of like, yes, the first step of decorating our Christmas tree will be, and our last step will be. But yes, whether it's at the beginning or the end of that Christmas tree decorating routine, there we go. But anyway, it's just really thinking about what those steps are for breaking it down. And it could even be like what you think about as them decorating could be more independent, right? So like, here's your little box of ornaments and we can take turns, but you're being more independent with it. Or it can be more interactive or supportive where you are providing those choices in that moment of, you know, do you want to put on the red ornament or the green ornament? Or maybe their items. I know growing up we had like, I don't know, a baby in a bassinet for your first Christmas. And then there were like different ones that were like trinkety figurines.
Oh, yeah, we got the fancy ones for our first Christmas. Like there's a Linux ornament somewhere on my tree that's like super fancy. And I don't understand why I have it because I didn't buy it for me. But someone bought it for me for my kid's first Christmas. Okay, here it is. It's at the top though. She doesn't touch it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We want to put those probably closer to the top. But it could be more supportive and interactive. So maybe, you know, you're more a part of that process where you can kind of take those opportunities to add in language and those kinds of things. Same with like baking cookies and opening gifts. I think those are some common activities. I wish this was like an open forum where like people could just like pop in and be like, take this example.
Yeah, here's the thing we do in my house, you know. I always tell people, though, people think that you're cheating if you buy the roll of dough from the store, you know, that has the little tree inside of it. It's like the circle, and then it has like an elf in it, or it has a tree in it. And they think they're cheating, and you're not cheating. You're being very logical and smart.
Intentional. Intentional. You're being intentional about your choices.
Yes.
And you know your limits, and the holidays can be full of different things that we have to take care of. And some of them are fun and exciting, and others are, okay, we just got to make this through this moment. And so that's part of it, right? Is like picking and choosing how you're going to fulfill your expectations and the expectations of others, but still taking in that account of self-care and what all can you take on at that time? So no, not cheating, just being intentional.
I know. Oh, I have a funny story for you. So I have a friend, you know, we did like a similar training recently, and she was saying in her in-laws family, the adults open the presents first and make the kids wait, and they have to open the presents last. And I was just like horrified. And she's like, I was horrified when we started, you know, when they started dating and she had to go. And she's like, when I had kids, we didn't do that anymore. Because like, it's so, you need to break it down. Kids can go first. All right. Or if you want to do it that way, give the kids a task or an activity or a game to play while the adults are opening the presents. You know, so I just feel like making children wait for long periods of time is really, really hard.
Yes. And that's so funny that you say that, because now I'm like analyzing what we do. And at my parents' house, which granted, by that time, the kids have already opened up presents. So they have some things that they take over there, I think. Mm-hmm. Like you get to take one toy with you to, you know, the grandparents' house. But we do gift exchange with the adults. And so everybody like draws a name. And we actually open those gifts before we open up the gifts that we got, like for the kids and everything. So now that you're saying that, like, I completely agree with you about it's a terrible idea to make them
I
wait.
mean, I'm not judging
That's
anybody's
what
traditions,
we do.
but in my experience, and she said the same thing. She's like, everyone would get so frustrated with the children because they had to wait and they'd go make their own fun, but they never thought to change the order or to break things down more. And so, you think about like, well, okay, the little ones can go first and alternate, and then the bigger ones who can wait longer can go next and then alternate. My family used to make us like, and thank goodness there were only four of us in my little family. We didn't have a large family, but we'd have to open a present and then we'd all have to look at the present and then we have to pose with the present while we got our picture taken, and then it would go to the next person. And so we'd go in like this circle all Christmas morning of the posing and the ooh, oh, you have to like look at it and show everybody and then talk about it, and then we have to take a picture with it. There's a lot of pictures of me as a teenager in like my pajamas, like holding up something, being like, yeah, this is my present. And I just keep thinking about like, man, by the end of that, I was kind of crabby and exhausted and hungry because we did it before we ate. So I just wish that we had altered that task a little bit more.
See, we did that before we ate too, but we ate Christmas candy as we went around. So we would be like
Oh
in our stock
my.
candy, and it was terrible. We eat terrible on, which made me think about some of the things that we talked about earlier in the series that I don't think we specifically talked about. Thinking about the routine and how it might be different. So like Christmas morning for us was a very different routine, right? Like we didn't get up and eat like we normally did. We normally woke up earlier than we normally did because my brother was very enthusiastic and it would be like 4 in the morning and he was getting everybody up. And my parents went with that for a little while. And then there was this rule where it was like, you have to see the sun up before you can come. Like there has to be some light coming in outside before you come wake us up. Yeah, so when we're thinking about routines and how they may be different during the holidays, I know specifically thinking about, well, we do it at Thanksgiving too. So like we don't have food on Thanksgiving until like Thanksgiving lunch
Do you
time,
guys
which
don't
is
eat breakfast or snacks?
no. Well, this is at my husband's house,
Okay.
right? And so I was used to not necessarily having breakfast, but we would have like snacky foods like the deviled eggs and the olives and cheese and crackers and stuff
Ooh,
would be out.
olives. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, well, they put that stuff out with the lunch food, and I'm like, that's supposed to come before we eat lunch. And they like withhold all of that food, and I'm like dying by the time we
They
eat.
make you have a real good deprivation state, so you're like super hungry. You need all their
Yes.
food.
So that was one thing I thought about that we didn't necessarily use as a specific example last time, but I think it's a good consideration of like, how are we sticking with our routines as much as possible with like even those very basic things of getting up and having a small meal, whether that's a snack or like something, like maybe it doesn't look like it typically does, but just to kind of get us through the day, because I mean, the blood sugar regulation is real, right? And
Oh,
that's
yeah.
like important on multiple levels. And you know, with a lot of the population we work with, sometimes eating is a challenge in general. But yeah, just something I thought about. And then with the waiting, I also thought about like if you are traveling via like airplane, I think about how much we're asked to wait, and it really is kind of like ridiculous when I stopped and think about it. I was like, you get there, you have to, if you have a checked bag, you have to, well, first of all, if someone's dropping you off, you have to wait in line before you can get dropped off, right?
Yes.
So then you get in there, because I was thinking about a visual schedule, right? And I was thinking about what this visual schedule would look like for somebody who'd never gone to the airport before. And it was like, go check in your bag. So while you're waiting, you have to wait in line, then your bag gets checked. Then you go to security and you wait in line and you go through
But I
security.
mean, what if you have clear? What if you have, the TSA pre-check, and things like that? And like we have clear,
Okay.
but then our airport here doesn't have clear where we are.
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, I have no what clear
Oh,
is.
clear is pretty awesome. Not not going to lie. Like, you skip a big line, but you can't depend on it because not every airport has it. So then we have to look up, is the airport we're going to, is that an airport that has clear? Our airport here has TSA PreCheck, but sometimes the two lines are all smooshed together depending on what's going on. So I can never predict, like, what our wait time is going to be. So then we always get there really early so we're not running to our gate, but then we have to wait at the gate for the flight for a long time.
Right.
Because I'm overly prepared.
And then once the flight does, or, you know, your plane is ready, you have to wait again when you're getting in line. And then when you get there, you have to wait again to get off the plane. I'm like, geez, this is like a lot of waiting for somebody who might have more challenges in that area.
Yeah. It's hard for me. And I'm a functional adult. I mean, I don't know about that, but it's hard for me. And I'm, you know, I travel a lot, so I don't like waiting. One of the things that we do have is we usually have these longer layovers for some reason, and we have access to one of the lounges. So we'll go in, like, the lounge. So it's less of, like, a sensory overload, and there's food and stuff, but not everybody has access to the lounges, so.
Yeah, I'm not that fancy. I travel all the time, like, probably once every 3 weeks, and I don't get that experience.
You travel enough that you should investigate the lounge.
I know.
Resource.
I should investigate the pre-check stuff too, because
you should.
Even though the line is longer for pre-check here when we're flying out.
But it goes so fast.
But when I get back, or like when I leave Atlanta, it's normally much shorter. So it would be worth it there.
Not that we are promoting TSA PreCheck or Clear or anything like that. It goes pretty fast, which is helpful when you have a small child. So when you have to travel, like, I have to travel with a 6-year-old. So it is extremely helpful to not have to wait in the security line. Breaking it down. What are some other activities we could potentially break down, Aubrey?
You know, I'm trying to think.
Playing family games, maybe.
Okay, that's a good one. Also, thinking about wrapping Christmas gifts. Oh, I know for
hate that. People,
the actual wrapping is kind of like the tradition part of it. In fact,
my least favorite part.
One time my husband was like, this was like we had just started dating. And he was like, I'm really good at wrapping. So he was going to do all the wrapping. And I was like, okay. And I kind of was offended because of how much better he thought he was at wrapping than me. Even though he had like no sample to compare. He just like thought he was. And it's just funny because now it's kind of become the activity that's like, I don't want to do it, not it. And so now he's like, well, you rap, you're so much better than me. And I was like, am I though? Or have you just changed your mind because now the whole like, competitive thing of it is over? Anyways, we're full of squirrels today, but I was thinking, you know, breaking down like, how can you participate in that wrapping experience?
I buy a lot so of maybe gift bags, though.
I was going to say the gift bags. I just stocked up on them.
I love gift bags because then it's I can give her, because she wants to wrap the present she got for her dad, and I completely agree and understand. So I'm always just like, here's a bag. Now we can have some tissue paper. Here you go, stuff, stuff, stuff. And then we're done. Hooray, we broke the task down. And then, you know, when she goes to bed, I can get the wrapping paper out and wrap the other things, even though yeah. I hate it.
When I think about breaking it down during the holiday season, some of the things that come to mind, too, are those activities that you might not do on a daily basis that you might need practice with. So one of them would be, you know, if you're traveling and you're on the road, you have to go to the bathroom in unfamiliar places. And so for some clients that I've had, that's been more of a challenge for them because they only like to go to the bathroom, you know, where it's really familiar for them.
Oh, yeah.
So when I think about the person that has that need, and we think about practicing and preparing in advance, really like weeks before you're going to be experiencing that and not having a choice to go anywhere else, you start practicing by like going into that place and not necessarily having to get that step of like the whole routine of toileting, but just like, will we go in and wash our hands, or will we go in and shut the door and lock the door in the stall and then come out? like just baby steps to what that needs to look like first, is one of the things that I think about when I think about breaking it down and one of the skills that you might need.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Because like one of our struggles when we travel is the fact that my child doesn't eat in unfamiliar places very well. And so we kind of live off of the snacks that I bring with us. And so that's a great idea, Aubrey. I need to start like practicing like around here. Some of the chain restaurants that are like everywhere, like Olive Garden.
There you go. Because
I know she'll eat at Olive Garden here. We need to go and like practice, like, or go to like Burger King because I know that she can eat there, you know, and practice the ones that are here and not actually go and like, well, I mean, I guess we could just go eat there, but break down the little steps. Okay, we're going to go here and then we're going to order our food and then we're going to go sit down, you know. And the Burger King at this other area might look a little different, but it's the same thing. So that's a great idea. I didn't even think about that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What are some other things we can break down? I don't know why I'm kind of struggling now.
I mean, it's always hard. I feel like it's always easier for me to do it when I am working with someone, right? Because typically they have some experiences they bring to the table and they're like, hey, we need help with this, or we're wondering about this.
I will say, like, I had to schedule out our like bedtime routine when we travel and we go somewhere unfamiliar, because I get so used to it in our home that I forget what all the steps are, and then I just kind of take it for granted. So then when we go somewhere else, I'm like, what are we supposed to be doing? And then we'll forget to brush teeth, and then she'll wake up like an hour later and she'll be like, I forgot to brush my teeth, oh my gosh, I'm getting cavities. And I'm like, it's all right, just go back to bed. And she's like, no. And then we have like a big meltdown. I'm like, fine, go brush your teeth. Okay. But then it comes in this thing. And if I had broken it down into these steps, you know, before we left and prepared a little bit better, I would have had my checklist and been like, okay, did we brush our teeth? Check. Did we put on our jammies? Check.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that makes it hard to stop and think about what needs to be broken down, is because, like you just kind of said, some of those things are such a part of your routine that you don't think about it when you're in that like natural environment of where it typically occurs. But then when there's like an element that's different, like even as simple as like a different location, it's like, oh, we didn't run through the routine the same way.
Yeah.
Or we're not going to be able to run through the routine in the same way. And how can I prepare my child or the individual I support to be able to have as much success with that if they are routine focused?
And I get very discombobulated if my routine is not the way it should be or the way that I expect it to be. Even if we're going somewhere different and I kind of know, I know things aren't going to be the same, obviously. But if I have this thought in my head, the schedule in my head, and we don't end up following that schedule, maybe I'm a little too rigid. I need to be more flexible when we travel. But I get very discombobulated.
You know, I don't know if I am the same way.
I think
way.
You're a little more flexible than me because you travel more than me.
That's probably true. But I'm also like one person for the most part. Like, I don't have children that I am like taking care of. So I think maybe I was doing that, I would be a bigger routine driven person, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
It probably would bother me a little bit more than it does at this moment. Talk to me in a couple years. We'll see.
All right. I'll check back in later. Think more about, you know, what tasks you guys can break down and how we can make things a little more structured and into smaller chunks, because that's how we're more successful most of the time. And keep us posted on your progress. Let us know how that goes. Or if there's other tasks that we forgot about that you could potentially break down.
Oh, I'm sure there's lots of tasks we could bring up. So send them our way, I guess.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, guys. And stay tuned for the next episode.
Be well and be the change.